What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Logan Weber Show. So excited to have you with me today. A Ric Flair. Woo! Yes, in case you're wondering, I do dance every time that music is playing. I just enjoy it. I just like the song. I like the vibes. It's good. So excited to have another episode for you. It's been a great summer in the Weber family. My oldest just had her four-year-old birthday party. It was awesome. Got an awesome episode lined up for you today. I want to share with you a really cool story that happened a couple weeks ago at an event I was working at in Texas. It really touched me, and I think it will touch you as well. But first, I stumbled across this video on YouTube. It's my favorite video at the moment, which will probably change in the next 48 hours, but it is my favorite video at the moment. Have any of you stumbled on these Ring doorbell videos? Ring doorbells have brought just like a new layer of weird, strange, scary, funny videos to the internet. And I love them. And I just found one that's the perfect intro to what we're going to be talking about today. So let me play it for you. You're going to enjoy this audio.
Dude, how are you the last one to show up to your own party? That is messed up. Your birthday party? What are you talking about?
What are you doing?
What?
Surprise party!
Surprise party?
Are you drunk?
Of course I am. It's a party.
You guys can come out. Derek messed us up. Seriously.
I was wondering where all the cars were.
How stupid can you be?
Mom, why didn't you just say it's a surprise party?
There's people here to see you. Happy birthday. Thanks a lot, Derek.
Oh, happy birthday. I'm sorry. Derek, how are you?
Oh, don't you just love some good old family drama? So I keep accidentally hitting play. So let me set the scene for you. So 25-year-old, let's call him, sitting on the front porch. You can see him in the view of the Ring camera. I guess it's his dad comes walking down the driveway, or his uncle or something, comes walking down the driveway, walking up to the front door, and he starts yelling at him about, dude, how are you the last one to show up to the party? And his mom comes out after telling, like, oh my gosh, you've ruined the surprise. Everyone come out, and just, it's fantastic. So now that I've painted the picture, let's hear it one more time.
Dude, how are you the last one to show up to your own party? That is messed up.
What party?
Your birthday party. What are you talking about?
What are you doing?
What?
Surprise party.
Surprise party?
Are you drunk?
Of course I am. It's a party.
Of course I am. It's a party.
Seriously.
I was wondering where all the cars were.
How stupid can you be?
Now dad's looking for the cars too, like, oh yeah, there aren't any cars around.
People here to see you. Happy birthday. Thanks a lot, Derek.
Oh, happy birthday. I'm sorry.
I'm hanging out with Derek on the front porch. Absolutely. Derek's hilarious. But man, family drama, sometimes it's just hilarious. Sometimes there's drama with your friends. Sometimes there's drama with your colleagues. We tick each other off. We rub each other the wrong way. We get frustrated with each other. And sometimes you just got to remember, none of us are perfect. And at the end of the day, we got to forgive each other. So forgiveness is what I want to talk about today in this episode as a result of something incredible, this really powerful conversation I had with someone after an event I did just a couple of weeks ago in Texas. Now, typically when an organization hires me to come in to speak to their group, if they hire me to do one of my presentations, one that's called Sticks and Stones, there's a portion of this presentation where I talk about forgiveness, the power of forgiveness, what it is, what it isn't. And I set it up with a made-up scenario I get some crowd involvement. I go find someone random in the crowd, some unlucky individual that I'm going to make be my partner in this made-up story that I create to get to my point. So I go running out in the crowd. Let's say this person's name is Sandra, okay? And I go, Sandra and I have worked together for 10 years. 10 years, right, Sandra? The first six, they were totally fine, but I will never forget the fight that Sandra and I had 4 years ago. Ooh, it was bad, it was mean, it was ugly, it was unprofessional, and here I am 4 years later, and I can still remember it with crystal clear clarity. And then, you know, I'll point to everyone around her. Don't y'all be acting like y'all don't remember. We were having that team meeting, remember? Sitting around that circle table, something like that. Sitting around that circle table or whatever. And here I am 4 years later, and I can still remember it. And here's why. Because inside every single one of our heads, we've got an HD DVD Blu-ray player with a stack of memory discs next to him. And this is when we typically do this. You could be driving in your car, you know, zoned out by yourself. You ever do this? You get done with work, you go out to your car, you get in your car, you turn it on, you start to drive home, you blink and you're home, and you're like, oh my gosh, how did I get home? Who drove my car? How many red lights did I run? How did I get? You ever had that moment where you like you were so lost in thought you don't even remember driving? It's freaky, and we've all done it. And when we do that, it's because we're typically lost in some sort of thought, either something that we're worried about, anxious about in the future, or we're replaying a memory in our minds. And so and this is when we do this. We grab one of those memory discs and we pop it in our skull. And so here I am, and I'm driving down, and I always look at them like I'm so confused. And they look back at me just as confused. Like, why did you pause? And I go, I don't know where I am. Give me a road name. Where the heck are we? Oh, yeah, sure. You know, Main Street or whatever. And I'm headed to, where am I going? Target. I had a group in Chandler, Arizona, just like a month ago now. I'm setting up this same story. And I said, I'm driving down, you know, it's like Arizona Avenue or something, and I'm headed to, and they yelled, Sonny's! And there's some chuckles. And I keep going. There's like 1,000 people in this auditorium, right? And I keep going. I'm like, whatever. Sonny's, I guess, is a funny place. Well, I get done telling this whole story, and they finally reveal to me that Sonny's was the local strip club. So you just never know where these crowds are going to send me. It's either really boring like Target or somewhere hilarious like Sonny's or something in between. So, and this is when we, and then I keep going. Okay, so this is when we do this. I'm headed down Main Street, and I'm headed to Target. And I grab one of those memory discs, and I pop it in my DVD player in my skull. And just like that, I go flying back in time 4 years, and guess whose face I'm looking at? The crowd says, Sandra's, right? Sandra's, that's right. And with crystal clear clarity, I replay the fight she and I had 4 years ago. I remember what she said to me. I remember what I said to her. I remember what she said to me and what I said to her, and I will never forget what she said to me after that. It was mean. It was ugly. It was unprofessional. I was hurt and humiliated.
I mean, she really crossed a line.
And then I'll never forget what I said back to her after that. Oh, it was mean. It was ugly. It was unprofessional. And I hope her feelings were hurt because she deserved it. She deserved it. And that's when I point at someone else in the crowd. You know, sitting near her. And that's when you looked at us and said, y'all need to chillax. You know, this is so unprofessional. And someone else says, yeah, just give it a rest. And you, I pointed at someone, yeah, and you're just starting to laugh hysterically because you think stuff like this is funny. And then we jump up and we're yelling more at each other. And you grab me and you grab her. And we go storming off in opposite directions. And we haven't had a real conversation since. That was 4 years ago. Oh, we still work together. But do we really work together? Not really. Pause on that story real quick, and we'll come back to it. In your mind right now, I want you to picture the worst roommate you ever had. Can you see their face? I'm so sorry if you're picturing your current spouse. Okay, you can see their face. Now, let me introduce you to three people I promise you do not want to live with. Their names, these are three worst roommates that are worse than the one you're picturing right now. Their names are anger, resentment, and bitterness. And you do not want to have these three move into your life. You do not want to do life living with anger, resentment, and bitterness inside of you. Because these three are what I call the cancers of the soul. They will suck the life out of you. And here's how you can tell if you've ever lived with anger, resentment, and bitterness. When you're driving down Main Street, headed to Target or wherever, thinking about your Sandra, are you content to let the story end where it actually ended? Or do you come up with an alternative ending that you like better? Oh, yes. And that's exactly what I do in my mind while I'm driving down the road, thinking about this situation from 4 years ago. I know in reality, we stormed off in opposite directions, but I decide in my head that we both turn around and we come racing back towards each other. Are you ready to rumble? Ding, ding, ding. And I project what Sandra says to me, and I project what I say back to her, and then what she says to me, and she shoves me. And then I project what I say back to her, and I two-fisted shove her, and she goes flying onto the ground. She jumps up. She grabs that purse of hers. I don't know what's in it, but she's got a brick or something in it. She slugs me across the face. I go flying over the table. I go running down this rabbit trail in my head so far until I can see myself with crystal clear clarity holding Sandra's head under the water. And then typically half the room laughs and the other half the room goes, oh my gosh, that was so dramatic. Which it totally was, right? Everyone that just laughed at that, you're totally telling on yourself because you've done this before. And those of you acting like, oh my gosh, that's way too dramatic, I got news for you. You've done this too. Think about it. Maybe not as dramatic as my little story because I'm being dramatic on purpose to make a point. But think about it. You have that disagreement with someone at work or a friend or a family member or whatever, right? You drive home, walk in your house. Ugh, what a day, right? Pour yourself a glass of wine. You're halfway through it when suddenly it hits you. The perfect comeback. And you go, ah, why didn't I say that? Why didn't I say that to him? Oh, that would have got, oh, if, oh, that would have been the perfect reply. And then they would have felt, oh, and then you just, and then brrr, all of a sudden you start recreating the conversation with what you wish you had thought to say 3 hours ago, right? We all do this. We all do. It's hilarious. I mean, it's kind of hilarious that we do this because we really all do. And here's the sad reality. While I'm driving down the road, steaming mad, recreating an alternate ending to this story with Sandra from 4 years ago that I like better, Sandra happens to be in her car too on Main Street, 2 miles behind me. She's headed to her favorite nail salon. She's got the windows rolled down, sunroof open, wind billowing through her supermodel hair. She's got some soft jazz music that she's playing, singing along. Da 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 da, ba da 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 da. I'm gonna get these nails done. Ba da 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 da. Hey, maybe do those toes. I mean, she's as happy as a clam. I'm 2 miles in front of her, white knuckling my steering wheel, right? Steaming mad, thinking in my sick little brain that I'm getting even with her. But who am I really hurting? Myself. It's as if I'm driving down the road, drinking poison, waiting for Sandra to die. But again, the only person that I'm hurting in this situation is me. We've got to forgive. When we hold on to unforgiveness, what we're doing is we're building a stronghold inside of us that you could call a grudge. We have this grudge towards this person, this unforgiveness that we're holding towards this person, this situation, this circumstance, and it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger in us the longer and longer we hold on to it. And when we hold on to unforgiveness, we become angry. We become resentful. We become bitter. And for a while, we can keep it just towards them. But the longer we hold on to it, we just become a person who is characterized by those characteristics. That so-and-so, he's angry. That Logan Weber, he's a bitter, resentful person. That's what it can build to. When we hold on to anger, resentment, and bitterness, with everything that we've got, we hold on to this unforgiveness. I cannot forgive them. I'm not letting them off the hook for how they hurt me. I'm not going to do it. When we do that, that stronghold of anger, resentment, bitterness, that grudge gets stronger and stronger. I've got news for you. Grudges, don't miss this, grudges and gratefulness cannot coexist. They just can't. And when we hold on to a grudge, when we choose to stay in unforgiveness intentionally or unintentionally, because I get it, it's hard to forgive sometimes. It is hard. I'm not going to downplay it. But when we hold on to unforgiveness and that anger and that resentment and that bitterness goes stronger and stronger and stronger, man, we are unable to live our lives from a position, from a place, from a heart posture of gratefulness. And the people we love, the people that we're around all the time, they're getting our emotional leftovers. Because so much of our emotional energy is going towards holding on to that unforgiveness. And so much of our emotional energy is being eaten alive by the anger, that resentment, that bitterness. So what does forgiveness do? Forgiveness is not letting the other person off the hook for how they hurt you. It's not. It's not. Forgiveness is giving yourself permission to let go. By choosing not to forgive, it's as if I'm taking Sandra and handcuffing her to me and dragging her through my life with me. Just this baggage that I'm dragging with me everywhere. And let me tell you, I can introduce you to people in organizations, in companies, in school districts that I've worked with all over this country. Living with, holding on to, dragging around with them anger, resentment, and bitterness because of this unforgiveness they have towards someone, something, circumstance, situation, whatever it is. And let me tell you, they are tired. They are emotionally exhausted. We got to learn how to forgive. In my opinion, the six most powerful words in the English language are these six. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? How many marriages might still be together if someone had uttered those six words, right? What keeps us from saying those six words? Pride, right? I don't have anything to apologize for. It's Sandra that should apologize to me. She crossed the line first. We say with such self-righteousness. Not all, but in most situations, yeah, we're both in the wrong. Not all, but in most, we're both in the wrong. So what does forgiveness do? It gives you permission to let go, but here's what else it does. When we are living, when we have that stronghold, that is that grudge that we've built over years of having this anger and resentment and bitterness just continue to grow in our bellies and our souls, when we hold on to this unforgiveness, what happens is it's as if we are locking the door to living a life of gratefulness. And when we forgive, we're giving ourselves the key to unlock that door, step through the threshold of that door, and we now have an opportunity to live our lives from the position of, I am grateful and thankful for what I have and what's coming, versus holding on to or resenting the fact of what I've lost or what's been taken from me. Because again, grudges and gratefulness cannot coexist. Forgiveness is so, so powerful. And trust me, I get it. I get what some of you might be thinking right now. Some of you might be thinking, you don't know what I've been through, dude. You do not know how he hurt me, how she cheated me, how he abused me, what she stole from me, what they said about me, what they did to my kids, what they did to my friend, the way they wounded my mom, the way they disrespected my dad. I don't know your situation, right? I don't know your situation. And I get it. There are some things that are really hard to let go of. I also know that there are a lot of petty things a lot of us hold on to, aren't there?
Well, I just wish they had thanked me for bringing brownies to the team meeting. I worked really hard to make them.
Come on, we gotta forgive. Let's let go of the little stuff. That should be easy. Let's let go of the little stuff. Some of you, if you've got any relationships in your life, if you've got a relationship in your life that is unhealthy in this area, you are picturing that person's face while I am talking to you right now, aren't you? And others of you, you're like, yeah, dude, mine's the group photo. Hey, I've been there too. I have been there too. I've had some anger, resentment, and bitterness to entire groups of people or friends or whatever, you know, at various points in my life that, and you just got to work through it. Wherever you land on that spectrum of hurt or wound or frustration, whatever you're holding on to, whatever it is that you do not want to forgive, whether it's super petty or really, really big, heavy deal, the truth still stands. Forgiveness is so powerful. And it can be such a game changer for you. So let me tell you what happened after this event. So I move on from there. I go into some joke afterwards, after I tell that story and you know, make all those points about forgiveness and kind of shift into another portion of the presentation. It's just a piece of this big theme that I have in Sticks and Stones. It's all about the truth behind words and relationships and all the dynamics inside of us that make being in relationship professionally, you know, personally with friends and even in our love lives or with our children, why relationships are so messy, just unpacking a lot of that. I highly recommend it. Hire me. You and your team will absolutely love it. But so I get done. It was a great event, like a 2-hour event. Get done. And I'm talking to some people afterwards, and out of nowhere, I get blindsided by this woman. She comes bolting up to me, bear hug, just squeezes me tighter than I've ever been squeezed. Like, or I almost said squeezed. I don't know, whatever the word is. I mean, I felt like my rib was about to crack. I mean, this woman was squeezing me in this bear hug, and I said, "Hey, I didn't know what to do. What's up?" She looked at me and she had tears in her eyes and she said, "Thank you." I said, "You're welcome. For what?" And she said, "Everything that you said about forgiveness was so true." She said, 3 years ago, my son killed himself. And it's been really hard. And he killed himself as a result of a bully at school. This girl that he went to school with was bullying him on Snapchat. I'm sure most of you are familiar with Snapchat, and you know the uniqueness about Snapchat and why it is such a great place for bullies. What is it? Yeah, you're already thinking of it. The messages disappear. If you didn't know this, on Snapchat, you can send someone a message, they open it, they read it or see it or watch it. It could be, you know, a picture, a video, or it's just words. And then it disappears. And this girl was sending this boy message after message after message after message of the same two words over and over. I bet you know what they were. Yep. Kill yourself. Kill yourself. Kill yourself. Kill yourself. Kill yourself. Kill yourself. All hours of the day, his phone going off with alert after alert of the same two words. Kill yourself. She'd call him in the middle of the night. He'd answer his phone. Kill yourself. Click. It's horrible. And then he did it. He believed the lie that her two words were telling him. That he was worthless. That he'd never measure up. That he wasn't good enough. And he took his own life. My jaw is on the floor as this woman is telling me this story, right? And honestly, I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for the, how dare you tell me to forgive his bully? Because that's what I felt was probably coming. And she said, you're so right with what you said about forgiveness. Me holding on to unforgiveness towards this girl isn't doing a thing to her. She is living her life. She's obviously got issues. And I hope she's able to work through them one day. What strength from this woman to say this about the bully of her son that contributed to her son choosing to kill himself. And she said, I gotta forgive her. I have got to let go of the anger, the resentment, the bitterness that I have towards her because it is doing nothing but hurting me and those around me that I love. You're right. Thank you. I feel like you were brought in today. There's 250 people at this event. She said, I felt like you were brought in today just to speak to me. Thank you so, so much. She wiped the tears from her eyes, gave me another big hug, didn't almost break one of my ribs this time, and she walked away. That's the power of forgiveness. Wherever you land on the spectrum of unforgiveness that I just described, if it's something petty, come on, let it go. And if it's something heavy, like what that woman went through, what her family's going through, with the loss of their son, I'll leave you with this challenge. I get it. It's easy for me to say, forgive them. Let go. You don't need to have positive, warm feelings towards them, but you need to let go of the anger, the resentment, the bitterness. Forgive them. That was awful what they did. But I have to let go of that because letting that boil and simmer inside of me is doing me no good. And so my challenge to you today is at least acknowledge that you'd like to get there eventually. And if the door to forgiveness is down the hall from you, let's just start looking at it. And let's, over the next several days, weeks, months, years, however long it takes you, let's start walking towards it until you can finally get to that place where you say, I'm letting go. I'm going to forgive them. And I'm moving forward. I'm not holding on to that pain anymore. I will forever miss my son, this woman could say, right? I'll forever miss my son. But I'm going to think about him. I'm not going to spend my time thinking about all these hateful things about his bully. That's the power of forgiveness. Thank you so much for listening through another episode. Looking forward to seeing you again soon.